And now I'm going to introduce our first speaker, whose name is Don C, and he will be speaking for 40 minutes about getting newcomers started for the through the first three steps in OA. I heard Don speak at another event, and I just loved listening and learning. He had so much to offer, and so I'm excited to hear him again. And this part will be recorded, so Phil is going to start recording now. Thank you. Go ahead, Don.
All right, thank you, Carrie. If you heard me talk about sponsorship before, you may be going to hear exactly the same thing again today. But let's see what happens. Could somebody give me a 5 minute? I'm timing myself here, but sometimes I can go a little too long, so we'll stop at 40, no matter what.
Absolutely.
All right, thank you very much. Hi, everybody. My name is Don. I'm a compulsive eater and food addict. I'm from Connecticut, Hartford, Connecticut area. I'm a compulsive eater, as I said, and a food addict. I stumbled into OA at age 41, an atheist, grossly obese, and suicidal. Other than that, I had everything going for me. I was at a bottom in my life. This was the last stop on the bus for me, and I'm still here now, 38 years later. This past June 1 was 36 years of abstinence for me and maintaining about 185 pound weight loss now for about three decades. OA saved my life and it continues to give me a life of usefulness. At my age, which is almost 80, pretty soon to be 80, there's nothing better than to still be useful. So I've been here 38 years, as I said. I've given service from the beginning. There was no choice in those days, but that I had that tough love sponsor who said, you will do this. As a matter of fact, in those days, it was clean the ashtrays, put down the chairs, put up the chairs, etc. But since my retirement in 97, passing it on has pretty much been a full-time job for me. I do service at all levels, but what I feel the best about is the literally hundreds, I think I estimated one time, maybe 1,500 people that I've taken through the steps, be it one-on-one or in weekend step studies. I've done about 40 or so weekend retreats, step studies. All of that adds up to 1,500 or maybe more people that have gone through. I've also done a number of 15-week step studies over the past 10 years. So, you know, for me, working the steps, using the nine tools to assist us, and starting with the plan of eating, of course, that's what restores us to sanity. Working the steps, using the nine tools to assist us, restores us to sanity, period. That's it. That's the program. There's really nothing else to be said. Everything is about that process. Now, sponsoring is simply passing it on. Our only purpose, right? Tradition five, our only purpose is to help others. If I'm abstinent and I'm working the steps, then I have a lot of hope to pass on to a newcomer. I don't need to have years of abstinence. I don't need to have 100 years of experience. I simply need to share my experience, strength, and hope up to wherever I am in recovery. I still say, as we said many, many years ago, 30 days of abstinence, finish the first three steps, working on your fourth step, congratulations, you're a sponsor. In those days, we actually had step-up ceremonies with candles, and you had a candle lighting, and you got laughter, and you got a coin, and congratulations, you're a sponsor. Thereafter, we would always introduce ourselves at every meeting as a sponsor. This is important. This demonstrates to people that the program works in the same way that identifying and celebrating abstinence in our meeting gives hope to the newcomer or the still suffering in the room. Abstinence and sponsorship need to be enthusiastically celebrated in meetings. What I'm going to show you today is an easy process for a sponsor, especially a new sponsor, to help a newcomer understand the disease, to develop a plan of eating, to get abstinent, and to go through the first three steps. This process gives a newcomer or a returner a solid foundation on which to get into the real work, which is, of course, in 4 through 7. 1, 2, and 3 are the foundation. The real work begins in 4 through 7. The transformation work, the personality change work all begins there. This process is based on two assumptions. One, that laying out a simple process for starting a newcomer, or even someone returning, a simple process will help more people step up as sponsors. That's what I'm interested in doing, creating more and more and more sponsors, even if they're afraid to. Maybe they're afraid they're not good enough, or they simply don't know where to start. This is a simple process that people can use to step up to that sponsoring role. Secondly, this is about newcomer retention. I believe that we can improve our newcomer retention if we can more quickly and systematically educate them on the nature of the disease, how to begin addressing the problem, and get them through the first three steps quickly, thus giving them a good foundation. One of the reasons I kept coming back in the beginning, 38 years ago, was that I got it. I got the understanding. They gave me the understanding of the fundamentals of the addiction. I argued with the addiction, cannot be a food addict, that's crazy. But eventually I began to see there was no other explanation. And I got that quickly, and so I never left. So I'm going to rely heavily today on two pamphlets. One is the Where Do I Start pamphlet, this guy, and a guide for sponsors, plus my own years of sponsoring and participating in a sponsor workshop. Now, we're in a Zoom era here now, and so normally this pamphlet, Where Would I Be Start, would be handed to the sponsee or the newcomer, I should say, when they come into a meeting. Now, we can't do that now. However, as of last week, this very, very valuable newcomer pamphlet is now available as an ebook. You can now download this as an ebook on Amazon Kindle, Apple Books, or Barnes & Noble Nook for a big price of $1. That's it. Amazon Kindle, Apple Books, or Barnes & Noble Nook. This is now available for anybody to download. Get on your machine or your computer or wherever. So I'm going to be relying on this and going through this pretty heavily today and showing how I do it with a brand new sponsee. We also have a brand new piece of literature just approved by the 2020 WSBC, and it's called Temporary Sponsors, Newcomers First 12 Days. It's on oa.org, and it's available for download right now. And there are a huge amount of similarities between that and what I'm going to talk about today. I go a little further than it goes, but it talks about those first 12 days and uses this pamphlet, Where Do I Start, exclusively. So let's get started. Now, as you probably already noticed, everything I'm saying today is I'm pretty heavily scripted. I have a lot of material that I want to go through. And I'm glad to hear it's going to be recorded today. I was going to tell you about another place where you could go and listen to recording. I'm only going to be doing about 40 minutes today. The full recording of all this is a little less than an hour, about 55 minutes, and that's available. And I could tell you where that is later on. So let's get started. We're going to help people quickly understand the disease, as I said, help them get honest with their food and put together a food plan, and then go through the first three steps. So what I'm going to cover today is divided into three parts. I probably won't get to much of the third part, but the first is the process, where I'll be spending lots of time. Second part is a little bit about sponsoring in general, what it is, what it isn't, what experienced sponsors and sponsees say makes a good sponsor. And the third part is about helping people not pick up the first bite or stop if they're already eating. The subtitle in that area is, what do you say when a sponsee calls and says, I want to eat. What do you say? Now, probably a good deal of material in there may be overlap into the second speaker today, but let's see where I go in the time that I have. Okay, the process from the beginning. Let's start at the meetup. You're the newcomer greeter in the meeting, and you're standing in front of Bill after the meeting. All right, Bill's a newcomer. You need to establish some credibility and get him to identify with you by talking about your own history and your own recovery first. He learns nothing about OA if he's doing the talking. It's hope that brings newcomers back. And your words over the 2 to 3 minutes you're going to give him may be the reason for that hope. He may have seen recovery in the meeting. He doesn't know what recovery is, but he may have seen good things there that were positive and have given him hope, but he may not have. And now it's up to you. So I might start with something like, "Hi, Bill, I'm Don. Nice to meet you. Welcome to OA. Before I ask why you're here today, let me briefly tell you a little bit about me, Bill, and why I'm here." So you give him a couple of minutes. So, you know, have your elevator speech ready that you can pour out in about 2 minutes, a little more. And you want to cover two things in that initial elevator speech: the food behavior that brought you to OA and where you are in recovery today, including your abstinence and your weight. I won't go through my little elevator speech to save time, but you get the idea. Now, if his head is nodding during the 2 to 3 minutes you're talking him, you're telling him your stuff, then he's identifying, and that's what you want. After finishing your quick bio, ask him about what brought him to OA, and could he identify with anything you've just said about yourself. Then you let him talk, and you ask questions with you answering. Toward the end of that first conversation, you may or you may not be here, but if you are ready at this point, you could say, "Well, so, Bill, what do you think? If you think this is something that you want to explore further, then I would be happy to work with you over the next couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, and for a number of reasons. One, to help you better understand this food issue that you have, that we have, to help you decide if you think this, that you have this disease or some form of it, to help you understand OA's 12-step process and what we're all about here. We're not a diet club. And help you decide whether or not OA is something you want to do, since OA is not always for everyone. If he says yes, then you're going to now explain your process, and you're going to set expectations, and you're going to give him his first assignment. So, for example, "Bill, let me explain how I work this thing. The process would be for us to talk every day for about 30 minutes or so for the next couple of weeks. We'll schedule whatever time is convenient for both of us. Timeliness is important. I have other scheduled calls, so if we set up a 7 o'clock or so, please call at the scheduled time. Honesty, Bill, is also really important. And that's not always easy when we start talking about some of this stuff that we don't feel good about. But you know, without honesty, this is all a big waste of time. You have the pamphlet, Where Do I Start, in your hand. That's going to be like a little textbook for the next few days. I'm going to ask you to read certain sections of the pamphlet and sort of highlight, if you like, what's important to you, what you identify with, and then we'll talk about it on our daily scheduled phone calls. What we'll do over the next several days, Bill, is study the nature of the problem. Midway through the process, you're going to understand why we call it a disease. You'll have identified what may be some specific problem foods for you. You'll set up for yourself a preliminary new plan of eating, not a diet, but a potential new normal, if you'd like. After following that plan for a while, you'll be ready to start the first 3 steps of the 12-step process. You, of course, can stop anytime, Bill, but you know, hopefully you'll decide you owe it to yourself to find out as much as you can about your food issue and a way to arrest it. Your first day assignment, what I'd like you to do for tomorrow, we've scheduled the time, we're gonna talk tomorrow at 7:30. First thing I'd like you to do is, one, I'd like you to go over to a website called oahelps.org. For the benefit of the audience here, that is the Westchester, New York Intergroup's website. And there's an 8.5-minute OA newcomers video on there that can be very, very helpful to newcomers. So I tell him to go and watch that. That's 8 minutes. Now, the other thing I would like you to do is to go into the pamphlet, pages 1 and 2, you'll see 15 questions there. I'd like you to go through those questions and jot down your answers to the 15 questions. And that's what we'll discuss tomorrow morning when we talk. All right, you're now in your first conversations. Go through the 15 questions slowly and carefully with him on that first call. Don't let him just answer a simple yes. Ask him to expand on it. There's no hurry here. Remember what we're doing. This is a focused self-assessment of whether he has the disease, not you assessing him, for him to assess whether he has it. He may not, or he may be in the early stages of our progressive disease, or he may already be enslaved by the disease, or he may be somewhere in between all those things. So that's what you do on the first conversation. Now we're going to continue through the pamphlet. So the next assignment is, okay, in the pamphlet on page 3 and 4, Bill, you'll see there's a couple of sections called You Are Not Alone and Many Symptoms. I'd like you to read through that and we'll discuss it tomorrow. Some of the concepts that are talked about in this section: food is hurting our life in many ways. We're ashamed of our behavior with food. We're not like normal people when it comes to eating, and that our bodies and minds send us signals about food that are quite different from normal eaters. Many of us can't stop after starting to eat certain foods. Many of us can't stop after starting certain foods. And even when we eventually stop, we can't stop ourselves from starting again. We have a condition of body and mind, an illness for which OA does offer a solution. Now, as you go through the pamphlet with him or her, you'll listen to what they think the paragraph assigned means to them, and then you'll share your own experience. In this process of reading and talking, you are helping them learn the true nature of this disease. And this is right in the first few days, remember, not a week or 6 weeks or 3 months later. It's right now in the beginning. This is the foundation for everything that comes after. This understanding of the disease can inspire action on their part and keep them coming back. In a sense, once they truly understand the disease, the solution becomes obvious. It's, all right, I need to stop eating these foods that are problematic. The only issue, of course, is where to get the power to do that. And that, of course, comes with the steps. The power comes through working the steps. The next section, pages 5 and 6 in the pamphlet, defines abstinence and summarizes our nine tools. Go through these, explain how you use these tools, encourage him for right now to use some of these tools, especially meetings. The more the better right now, especially face-to-face, but of course none of us can get into face-to-face now, but the more meetings the better at this stage. He'll hear and he'll see and he'll meet recovery in those meetings, even if he doesn't quite yet know what that is. Page 7 then begins the in-depth discussion of our plan of eating tool. Some of the key concepts covered there. A plan of eating is not a diet. It's a new way of eating according to our physical needs rather than our emotional cravings. We're not like normal eaters who stop when they're full and do not hide food, and nor do they feel guilt and shame about their eating. Our problem is not weakness or lack of willpower. We have a disease over which willpower and good intentions and resolutions are useless. The next section in page 8 is called Developing a Plan of Eating. Now, this is the beginning of really concrete actions by the newcomer. Key concepts covered here. We must develop a sensible plan of eating in advance. We cannot make up our minds as we go along. Normal leaders do that. We can't do that. This plan of eating separates our eating from our emotion. I like to use the word divorces our feelings from our eating. I put a plan in place that no matter how I feel, that's what I eat, no matter what. This plan of eating also needs to state what, when, where, and how much. Another point it makes is we're more likely to stick to our plan if we commit it daily to a sponsor. And of course, this is all one day at a time. Do not think about forever and ever and ever, Bill. Right now, do this right now. Don't think about forever. Concrete examples are given in here of common problem foods and behaviors, page 9, 10, and 11 in a section is called Choosing Specific Foods to Refrain From, as well as Eating Behaviors to Refrain From. So we have a lot of examples here of trigger foods for some people, like chocolate, fast foods, cookies, chips, sugar, sweetened drinks and cereals, high-fat products, deep-fried foods, flour and refined carb products, pastries, pastas, bread, mixtures of sugar and flour and fat. And in the example section, some of the things that it talks about: eating until completely stuffed, rigidly restricting calories, having to finish whatever's on our plate, devouring our food at high speed, hiding or hoarding our food, eating because it's free, eating to celebrate, purging excess food. Now, at this point, I ask newcomers to construct a 3-column list of every food, beverage, and condiment that they put into their mouths, everything that they eat or drink. Remember now, we're several days into the process. We have talked about the definitions of disease and obsession and compulsion. They've been introduced to the whole trigger food idea and given concrete examples. They have a huge amount of information in their head right now that they did not have when they walked through the door a couple of weeks ago. They have an understanding of our disease, and in theory, many of them are now ready to really get honest. Your job will be to review this list of foods, this 3-column list of foods with them, and help them start working on a food plan that includes exactly what they do not eat and what they will eat. The instructions I give them on the 3 columns, first column, you could call it column A, red light, you could call it alcoholic foods, whatever you like. Foods that you know in your heart of hearts are triggers for you. These are the instructions I give. Know in your heart of hearts are triggers for you. Foods that you often eat too much of. Foods that you never have just one of. Foods that you consciously or unconsciously turn to when your feelings are particularly unpleasant or pleasant. Foods that call to you, comfort foods, if you like. Then I suggest they do column C, which it can also be called the green lights foods. And this is foods that clearly are not a problem for you. Foods that you can take or leave, clearly not comfort foods for you. More often than not, you don't overeat these foods. And then column B, the middle column, or the yellow light, if you'd like. These are foods that may not be, but maybe sometimes might be a problem. So review the 3-column list with them. Spend time on this. Ask questions. Keep in mind that the initial eating plans often change after some experience. The section on creating a plan on page 11 introduces this idea of simple plans, as in simply eliminating trigger foods, for example, versus, for some of us, the need to have much more structure. For example, some of us need to weigh and measure. Some of us need to count calories. Some of us need to commit our food. Some of us need to define very, very carefully exactly what, where, when, and how much we will eat. Quantities are discussed on pages 11 and 12. And then starting on page 13, there are some examples of actual eating plans that OAers have found successful. So finally, you will agree on the plan of eating, their plan of eating, and have them begin to follow it. Remember, this is their plan. They own it. They were not given a plan. It is not a diet that somebody gave them. They have worked this out themselves. They're working toward a new normal way of eating that's right for them. You, of course, share your experience on this and what your foods, etc. But the final choice is up to them. Remember, it will undoubtedly get adjusted along the way. It always does. It's a good idea at this point, I think, and I always do this, if they're willing, if the newcomer commits their plan to you each day, for now, one day at a time, for now. Commitment clearly increases the probability of success here. It's also a good idea, for now, if they weigh and measure, in order to loan the portions that will eventually get them to a healthy body weight. I had no idea what a reasonable portion was. My favorite statement when I came into this program is, well, I don't eat that much. And then somebody said, well, write down everything that you ate yesterday. And it came out to about 5,000 calories. And that is not quite exactly a not eating that much. But I was a grazer. And so I didn't know what binging was until I came to this program and heard about binging. And so I did, of course, think I should try it. So I did have to do that a few times. But I was a grazer. I just ate continually from the time I got up in the morning until I went to bed at night. So I never ate that much at any one particular time. I encouraged them to go to meetings and to begin making phone calls to other OAers that they meet in the meetings. Start counting days at this point. In a sense, this beginning of following a plan each day, which eliminates the trigger foods, for some of us can be equivalent to detox in AA. It can clear foggy brains, and it can prepare people to do the real work on themselves, which is going to be done in the steps. Meanwhile, continue studying the rest of this 30-page pamphlet with the newcomer. After a week or two of committing their food to you, following their plan of eating, including eliminating trigger foods and going to meetings, then they're ready to start on the steps. So this could be maybe 3 weeks, 4 weeks into the program. They are digging in and diving into the step work. Continue daily calls, committing a food for now. Now, I'm not going to go through first three steps. That can be a subject of a whole another meeting, obviously. But there are lots of options here that you can do if you don't know quite what to do. You know, you've got, for example, in the guide for sponsor, which I'm going to talk about in a minute, you've got 30 questions in the back of this that include big book questions, OA 12 and 12 questions, plan of eating, and the tools pamphlets from OA. You have an old pamphlet called Sponsoring Through the Steps, and this has 42 questions in there to cover the first three steps, and it primarily focuses on big book and somewhat from both 12 and 12s. However, the easiest and simplest way, if you're this is your first time sponsoring, easiest and simplest way is the new 12-step workbook. You've got, I forget how many, 9, 10, 11 questions in here on first step, and about the same probably from on the other steps 2 and 3. This is simple, it's easy to work with them on this. And of course, we have one of our, I believe, OA's greatest publications over all these years that I've been associated with, is the 12-step workshop and study guide. This is also full of good questions and other ideas that you can use on those first three steps. So there are many ways to do this. So do not think that you don't know where to start, because these are easy places to start. So get into those. This one is the easiest, as I said, just the workbook. Use the questions there. All right, there may be slips. Let's talk about slips for a second. Remember that slips are learning experiences. Don't waste a slip, I always say. We need to learn from it. If a sponsee has a slip, have them do a slip inventory. Let's look carefully at it. Emphasize that immediately telling you about the slip, it will empower them to get started again. Don't wait for a day or two or a week, because the more you hold that inside of yourself, if you're the slippy, we'll use that word, the more you're likely to continue eating. The quicker that you admit that you fell off the horse, the quicker you can get back on the horse. So that's the whole point. You slip today, they immediately call your sponsor and talk about it. That empowers them to get started again. Holding on to the secret leads to more eating. I do ask them to do a slip inventory. So there are four questions on my slip inventory. One, write down exactly what happened, as if there were a video camera rolling. Description, exactly what did I do? What was going on? Second question in the inventory, remember that food is the symptom, not the ultimate problem. Before I made the decision to eat something that was not on my plan, there was some kind of emotional distress going on. So go back several hours or the previous 24 hours before the slip and come forward. What feelings were you experiencing before the slip? Were you avoiding facing something? What lies did your disease tell you that you decided to believe? How did you decide that it was okay to eat? Question 3, was the problem physical, emotional, or spiritual? Did you decide, for example, that some binge food was no longer a binge food, a trigger food? Or Was there some sort of a spiritual problem? Was your higher power anywhere? Did you do your morning reading or your prayer? Fourth question, okay, now let's see what we've learned. Moving forward, what can you learn from this slip, Bill? Are there adjustments you need to make to your plan of eating? Is there something in that middle column that really needs to be switched over to the A column, the red column, the alcoholic food column? B, if the situation precipitating the slip happens again, you get upset at your husband or your spouse or something happens, how will you handle it next time without picking up the food? C, are there spiritual actions that you may need to take to strengthen your abstinence or to help the situation if it comes up again? So that's the little inventory I do. And hopefully they learn something. And when the situation comes up again, they handle it in a different way without turning to food. All right, so it's now several weeks later. We've finished the first three steps. We've built the floor of the new house that they're going to construct their recovery on. You know, 1, 2, and 3 is sort of the foundation of the house. I look at 4 through 9 as the walls of the house and 10, 11, and 12 as the roof. The first three steps prepare them to get well. Foundation, foundation, foundation. And that's all the things I've been going through here about helping them gain that foundation. 4 through 9 are the change steps that get them well, of course. And 10, 11, and 12 keep them well. So my objective is to help people get a solid foundation so they're ready and inspired to do the real work in steps 4 to 9. The process that I've talked about here does that by helping them understand the nature of our disease. Then they understand the reasons why they need to get honest with the food and develop a new way of eating, not a diet, but a new normal for them, the right foods and the right amounts in a structured way. They have put the food plan together. They have put the food plan together, not me. They own it. Ownership and responsibility are key here in my experience. They're taking responsibility for themselves. It's called growing up, as my old sponsor used to say. You know, you're 41, Don. It's never too late to grow up. They're taking responsibility for themselves rather than blaming the rest of the world for their problem. So when the food plan is constructed this way, they own it. All right, let me switch gears, talk a little bit about some general stuff on sponsoring. I think let me spend a little time on this guide for sponsor. If you're a new sponsor, this is your first order of business. Go and study this pamphlet. It's 18 questions there. I'll highlight a few of those. You know, number one is, what is a sponsor? An abstinent OA member who's committed to refraining from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors while working toward or maintaining a healthy body weight. Shares his own program of recovery on an ongoing individual basis with another member. Works and lives the steps and traditions, guides the sponsee through the steps. Not a therapist, a doctor, a lawyer, or other professional. Just share a sponsor sharing his or her experience, strength, and hope. Why should I sponsor? Because you won't hold on if you don't. So it's all about your own recovery. As we give back, we strengthen our group and the fellowship. I'm just kind of highlighting, there's a paragraph on each of these. I'm just kind of highlighting the key points. When and how do I become a sponsor? Anytime, simply sponsor up through the level of your own experience. You do not need to have worked all of the 12 steps and have 29 years of abstinence and all that stuff. Up to your level of experience. If you have worked the first three steps, you've got abstinence, you're working on the rest of your steps, and a newcomer walks in that meeting, you are 500 miles ahead where he or she is. You've got something to share with them. Question 5, how do I learn to sponsor? You learn by example from your own sponsor. You learn by doing. You learn in workshops like this. You learn by reading our literature. By the way, I didn't mention it, but you know, on OA.org, as I recall, there's something like 15 or 20 different podcasts on there on sponsorship. So all kinds of information around. What are the different styles of sponsor? Number 6, well, that varies based upon your own experience. Number 8 is how much contact should I have with a sponsee? Well, whatever you guys mutually agree on. More contact provides deeper help, including learning more about ourselves. But again, it's whatever you guys agree on. Number 10, how many people should I sponsor? That's up to you. But don't say yes unless you mean it. You must be ready to meet your commitment. When and how should I decline sponsorship? Well, don't sponsor friends. Do not sponsor potential romances. Do not go beyond your own limit. For example, I sponsor no more than 4 people at a time through the steps. So I have 4 people right now working through the 12 steps. I talk to them each 4 times a week at about sometimes an hour. So it's a big commitment. Remember, your personal program comes first. 13, what should I do if a sponsee has a slip? Treat them as learning experiences, and we talked about that. Do the slip inventory. How about if I slip or relapse? Well, what the pamphlet suggests is discuss it with your own sponsor. Be honest with your sponsee. Remind them that they are free to choose a new sponsor if they like. If you feel the need to stop sponsoring in order to focus on your own recovery, then explain this to your sponsee. Remember, you're not God. You're not on a pedestal. You have the disease the same as him or her. Be honest with each other. Perhaps offer to help him find a new sponsor. Just 5 minutes?
Yes.
All right. Don't just drop a sponsee. That can be devastating for the sponsee. What do I do if I feel a sponsee is not making progress, is question 15. Well, examine your own expectations. You know, everyone progresses at their own pace. Remember that the sponsee is responsible for his recovery, not you. Do an inventory on yourself. Are you less available, for example? Has communication broken down for some reason? Maybe, in fact, they do. Perhaps would be better with a different sponsor. Maybe there's some sponsee issues that need professional help. Discuss it with your own sponsor. But ultimately, if a person isn't willing, then you may have to let the sponsee go. All right. The conclusion in the pamphlet says, a sponsor is simply someone committed to helping another member on the road to recovery. Remember that sponsors are not gods or goddesses. They're just people working the program, sharing their experience with others. Don't let the fear of being imperfect stop us. We don't have to be perfect, just willing. Trust higher power to help. All right. Let me switch to another gear here in my last 5 minutes. There's a sponsee wish list that I helped develop years ago. It was a very large workshop we put together. What are the top 10 characteristics of effective sponsors? This was published in Lifeline some years later. I would just name them and then move on to one last point. Abstinent, available, committed, in recovery, has a good, strong foundation in program principles, 12-step based, focused, meaning they can do the daily phone calls or whatever time that you set up. The phone calls with the sponsee focus on the steps and the program, not social things. Good listeners, clear expectations. I talked about setting expectations in the beginning. That's always important in sponsoring. Know what it is exactly that you are looking for from the person. Humility, know when to say, I don't know, or I have no experience in that. Don't allow yourself to be put on a pedestal. Honesty, rigorously honest, both about yourself and with the sponsee. Has an attitude of compassion, empathy, patience, sense of humor, and a positive attitude, and know when to let go. All right, some ideas developed at a workshop on the I want to eat call. And this is where I began to perhaps go over into the second part of the talk today. I give you a list and then I will stop. Ideas developed at a workshop on the I want to eat. Okay, they've called you. What are some of the strategies that you can take as the sponsor taking that call? Or you don't even have to be the sponsor. 1, compliment them on picking up the phone before taking the bite. 2, ask them what happened just before the food thoughts, right? What exact feeling triggered this obsession? And what can you do with this feeling? Is eating going to fix that feeling, that anger, that whatever, that loneliness? Three, another idea, ask them, what's a better way of dealing with this feeling that you have now with what's going on? How can you reframe and rethink this situation? Four, can you try to focus on the solution rather than the problem? Five, talk to them about the tools. They made a call, that's one of the 9 tools. What else would be helpful? What about writing about what's going on? Reading the 12 and 12 or the big book or other literature, getting to a meeting. Another thing, ask them what they like best about their abstinence. They've been abstinent. What do they like best about that abstinence? Ask them about their goals. Ask them to do a gratitude list. Read some OA literature together. Share your own strength and experience on handling urges to eat. Say this serenity prayer together, separately. Suggest they ask for help from their higher power. What other action other than eating might you take? So the list goes on, but my time is about to run out. There are also ideas in the OA Before You Take That First Bite pamphlet, bunch of ideas in there on how to handle this. The Strong Abstinence Checklist, also on OA.org, bunch of good ideas on there that you can use. And lots of different kinds of things on my full recording of this. You can find some of those. But in summary, our most basic truth is that working the 12 steps, using the 9 tools to assist us starting with the plan of eating restores us to sanity, period. As I said before, there's nothing else to be said. Everything is about this 12-step process using the 9 tools to help us. Sponsors pass on that message. That's what we pass on. Don't forget that no matter how far along in recovery you are, if you're abstinent, working the steps in the program, you're in a position to help someone who just arrived or is just returning. Hopefully the process and tools I've talked about here will give you confidence to do that. So remember, sponsors are not gods or goddesses. They're just members working the program, sharing their experience with others. So thank you guys very much for having me to talk. All this that I've said is available in transcript form. I can give you addresses on that later or put it in the chat box. So, all right, that'll do it for me. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Don. A really, really wonderful talk. And I was watching the screen. I could see the tops of people's heads. So I know people were writing and taking notes, and that was wonderful. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. So if you have a question for Don, please type it in the chat to the Ask It basket. Your question will be read to Don, and who will address it. And Ask It Basket Gail is going to read the questions.
Hi, Don. Thank you so much. Thank you so, so much. I had heard you before, and it's new every time. I always get new ideas and just my own recovery too. So to start with for questions, we have one that says, what is the blue book that you held up called? And I'm not sure, it may have been the green because there wasn't there was the green
is this one, the workbook.
Yeah, and that I'm betting is what the question was.
Probably the 12-step workshop and study guide. This is, I believe, personal opinion, the most valuable piece of literature ever published in OA in 60 years, because this enables you to get a bunch of people together and work through the 12 steps. It uses the big book and both 12 and 12s, as well as our Voices of Recovery and For Today daily reading books. Excellent piece of literature. Everything there you need to work on the program, get well. As I said, the workbook, that's just 8 or 10, 12 questions per step. Easy to do also, if you're a new sponsor in particular. Sponsor. Okay?
Thanks. Here's another question. After a slip, does the sponsee start counting days back at zero? Do you find it encouraging or discouraging, or how do you handle abstinent counting?
Right. All the above. It can be encouraging. It can be discouraging. If it's a brand new sponsee, I'm going to have them restart the count. In other words, if I'm in the first few weeks with somebody and they get a couple of days and then they mess up, then I say, let's start again. Usually. But everybody's a little bit different. You know, there's some people in different places. And you have to define, is it really a serious slip, for example? You know, they may have just made some error that maybe isn't really that bad. I wish there were nice, clear, black and white answers on this, but they're not. This is all gray area, and you have to decide what you think is best for you and this sponsee. Remember, we're not here to grade people or to fire people or kick them out. We're here to help people. That's all we're here for. Have a heart. Do whatever is in your heart that says, how can I help this person get their stuff together? That's what we deal with. Come from a love and compassion and caring, not simply follow these rules or you're out. You have to go all the way back and start over, et cetera, et cetera. That can be very discouraging and cause people to quit. So that's what I mean by all the above. It's not really totally clear every time for a new person. It just isn't. If I've got a sponsee, we're working in the steps someplace and something happens, I don't take them back to the first step, but we stop. Let's say somebody is on the fifth step, fourth step, sixth step. We'll stop, get them a 2 weeks back in abstinence, and then resume. I don't go back to step one.
I have a quick comment. There's a lot of questions coming into me privately. Ask them to the Ask It Basket. If you are asking the question, probably somebody else is. So let's take advantage of the time we have with Dawn in the Ask It Basket and ask the questions directly. Thanks.
And the Ask It Basket, if you look in your participant list, it says Ask It Basket. It should be near the top among co-hosts. So we'll try that. Okay. Thanks, Phil. Here's another question, Dawn. Can I sponsor if I do not have a sponsor myself?
Yes, in my opinion. Yes, you need a sponsor. Yes, we all need sponsors, but it's not a perfect world. You know, we've got places around the country here where there's just no sponsors, where there's no one. You know, we used to be 12, 13,000 meetings, and now we're at less than 6,000 meetings. So, you know, again, use your best judgment. You can, if you've got some, you're working your program, we're here to help people in any way that we can. Love and service, right? That's the core of everything, as Dr. Bob said, love and service. We're here to pass on what we have learned. So don't get hung up on bureaucratic rules, okay? Go. That's it.
Thanks. Here's another question. Could we post the website that what you referred to with the 8.5 minute newcomer video, the one that was from Westchester, I think.
Wester, yes. OAHelps.org.
OAHelps.org. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Excuse me, Gail. Can I interrupt?
Yes.
This is Jerry. Every single resource that Dawn shared with you is in the chat with all the links to go straight there. So save the chat or ask for a copy of the chat and we'll send it to you.
Okay, thanks, Jerry. Let's see. I'm seeing a transcript of the talk would be helpful, and that will be available. The whole thing is being recorded, so it will be available on the sacvalleyoa.org website. Here's another question. How long...
Can I add one thing to that?
Yes.
The full version of this thing that I do here is about an hour. And I did that on the virtual region convention. And I offered anybody who wanted the full transcript, they could get it. And I've sent about 500 of those out so far. So if you want the whole nine yards of this stuff, just from Don's opinion on this, send me an email. And my email is in the chat room, fob1234@verizon.net.
Yeah, we are recording this. So audio only and video will be recorded. At this point, we don't have any plans to do a transcript.
Right. That would include all the words that I include all the words that I did say plus all the words I didn't say.
Okay.
Thanks. Here's a question. How long does someone need to be abstinent before they start sponsoring?
30 days.
Well, that was a quick one.
That goes back, by the way, about 50 years. We're talking back into the 60s and 70s when that was it. When we were growing exponentially, that was it. Three steps, 30 days, congratulations, you're a sponsor. And I still feel the same, that you have something to give. But you only give up to where you are. You can't be talking about 4, 5, 6, and 7, and 9 if you're only up to step 3, if you're only finished step 3. So, yes, we need sponsors, and people use that as an excuse sometimes. Oh, I don't have all the steps. I don't have all this. You still have more than that newcomer walking through the door. Thanks.
Here's another question. As a newcomer, how can I approach getting a sponsor when in-person meetings are no longer possible due to the lockdown?
Well, in all the meetings that we have here, I'm in Connecticut Intergroup, and so chair of the Connecticut Intergroup. All of our meetings are Zoom meetings now, and all those meetings identify sponsors, all of them. So I was in a meeting last night where there was, I think, 15 sponsors identified. 3/4 of those were available. So I encourage people, go to the meetings, and if they don't do that, ask. Say you're looking for a sponsor, right? Now, if you happen to be a man, we have oamen.org where we have about 500 men on there, and we have about, 100 sponsors or something like that. So, and 50 or so available. So be aggressive and go ask. Say you need a sponsor. And every meeting you go to, and somebody's going to step up and offer to help you. They may say, I can only help you get started, but that's all right. About 80% of all those help you get started turn into regular sponsors. They're putting you on probation.
Okay, thank you. There are a number of people who have asked, what were the two pamphlets, and as Jerry said, if you scroll through the chat, you should find links to every one of the items that Don has talked about. So those should be there.
Plus, you can, as I said, where do I start? You can now. It's an ebook, so Kindle, Apple, or Nook. You can now download that onto your phone or wherever.
Okay. And I think at the end of this, we'll be able to get people copies of the chat, because that's also being posted. I have another one. I'm scrolling through looking for ones we haven't gotten. You said you have 4 sponsees. Do you work with newcomers to build a foundation and then turn them over to one of the 15-week workshops or to another sponsor?
Yes.
Is that?
Yes, I do. That's in addition to the 4 step sponsees. I will work with newcomers. I've just, within the last 2 months, I've been through with 2 newcomers, one just finished, and another one just on the meeting last night, celebrated 60 days of abstinence. So got, you know, she got a coin and clapping and all that. So yes, I do that. I help them get started. And then I helped her find a new sponsor. This was a woman. They were both women. So I particularly wanted to have them help them find a woman sponsor, right, to go into steps 4 through 9. So yes, I do help people get started.
Great. With this process,
exactly the process I just went through.
And that's all the time we have for questions right now. I noticed somebody on the phone has their hand raised. At the end of the workshop, we'll have time for questions and for shares, just to let you know. So thank you again so much for your wonderful message, Dawn. Really appreciate you being here.
Thank you for asking.
Thank you. And so now we're going to move on. And